like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with someone who was on the show within the past few years. I was going to say recently, but it's been a little bit. But we're talking about a totally different band this time, which is kind of cool. So I think that people, if they do know you, might remember you from the episode we did about the Naked Midgets, Porters of the Prairie punk icons, the Naked Midgets, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And that's sort of how I know you in the first place. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, our bands played shows together in Winnipeg and Portage and elsewhere. And so sort of been watching your various projects through the years, and you have a brand new one, which seems to be gaining some momentum. So I think the best way to start this off is for you to introduce yourself, introduce the project, and we can sort of get into it.
Yeah, well, I'm Jeff Derichuk. I usually go by Chuck as my nickname. And I was in the Naked Midgets for years, and then, you know, life gets in the way.
Yep.
Become an adult. So that project was kind of done. And I never really expected to get back into it, but same deal with a lot of these like old bands that come back. COVID happened, they're home, they pull out the guitars, they get a little extra time. But then everything got back up and running again in the world. And but I'd had these songs, so I just started putting them out as YouTube demos.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
they were really like lo-fi, just done on my iPhone. Didn't think anyone would notice it, and I was right. But the band Pulling Pud from Portage, I know some of those guys, they got going pretty good there, and I was kind of giving them some advice on breaking into the scene and whatnot, and then they took it from there. And I mentioned to them I could use some musicians to help me play on my projects.
Yeah.
And they were pretty busy. They're in two bands because they're also in Ticked Off too, who's been on the show.
Right. Thanks to you for introducing me to both those bands and getting them on the show. Which
yeah,
is great.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. And then, all of a sudden I got a call from them and they asked if I wanted to record and if I needed them to play on some live shows.
Cool.
I never really expected that to actually happen, but it did. They got the space and it's all kind of pre-existing for us to walk in, and that's how it happened.
Cool. So that's this project is Chucky and the Cheapskates, which is your new thing. And so I guess, like, before we get into even what the sound of that band is, what is it like sort of coming back to this? Because I mean, we're similar age, probably within a year or two of each other. I haven't played in a band in forever, so I get the position of wanting to play music but not doing it for a long time.
Yes.
And then so what is that like for you to get back into this? Because you didn't only jump into recording demos and putting them on YouTube. Now this is like a fully fledged band that plays shows, and you've played shows in Winnipeg, and you're out there and things are happening. Like, what is it like, you know, as an old guy our age to jump back into this? Because not that there's an age limit on playing punk rock, but it definitely is a genre that always has a constant stream of young people starting new bands, which is the best thing about it. But like, what is it like, you know, you're in your 40s, now you're jumping back into it and trying this again?
Yeah, so it's definitely it's not just like riding a bike. Like, I played a few solo shows, and you know, when you get back into punk at this age, it almost feels wrong. Like, you shouldn't, you know, like I should be working on other responsibilities.
Yeah. Be an adult or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, a lot of guys I know, they haven't pulled out their guitar now since those days or since they had kids. Yeah, exactly. And, which is a shame, because that riff on Train from Grandpa's Army was pretty badass there. So.
Well, I'm glad I got somebody like that. Yeah. But I mean, was there a learning curve though? Was like to get back into it?
Yeah, things have changed a little. Everything's done online now, like as far as promo and whatnot. People still flyer. There's word of mouth, but pretty much Facebook group and events. And, I would say it's more well-organized now than it was in our day.
Okay.
And, you know, like, but you still, it's, you walk back into the venue and the smells and the sounds and the, you know, the people and everything, it just kind of takes you right back to those days. And you don't feel too old at that point.
For sure, for sure. But, and I mean, obviously there's people older than us doing it too, right? It's not like, like there's no cutoff, but just the amount of time away from it, I think would be tricky to sort of navigate. As far as the actual like playing and performing aspect of it, did you have to sort of rebuild those chops, or had you been playing just on your own sort of?
Yeah, no, I felt that it took more prep than back in the day.
And okay,
More like honing the craft and memorizing lyrics and, you know, and like I, getting back a little bit to the being an old guy at punk shows, I was talking to a guy at a show, either from the Zaps or the Sound Off, one of those guys there. You might be familiar with some of those bands, but they were telling me, like, he was about my age. He remembered some of the old projects, and he was saying, you know, you get to a point where you're too old, you got things to do and whatnot. Then you get even older, and it almost gives a window to get back into it at that time. So,
well, I guess there's a different kind of pressure, right? I mean, not that any of the bands either of us were in were destined to go anywhere successfully, but is it different? I imagine it's a different kind of type of commitment you put into this, because I mean, you know, when you're 20, who knows, right? Maybe this thing could take off. When you're in your 40s and you've sort of just jumped back into it for fun, there's got to be a different. It's got to be a little bit easier in terms of like, oh, if we fuck up, who cares, right?
For sure. Or at the same time, you could shut it all down if life gets too busy and whatnot.
Yeah.
And put out whatever songs you were working on, play your last show kind of thing, and maybe pick it up again later. Like, for example, in the winters, I coach like youth hockey. So not too much happens in the winters, except maybe the writing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just when you get extra time just for fun. And then some things, you know, some things take off, some things don't. What worked out for me is that these guys have like the jam space and like the place to do it where you can just walk in, play and leave, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
At this age, like I couldn't imagine having equipment all around the house and guys coming and going.
Yeah, it's different when you're, when you're not doing it in someone's parents' basement at age 17 or whatever, it's a very different vibe for sure.
Exactly.
She's an anarchist. Fed up with society's rules, lives in the suburbs, spends a lot of time listening to Tool. She's an anarchist, and I'm in love with an anarchist, sing a rise above. She's an anarchist, she don't wear animal tested products. She votes green eyes, dreadlocked hair, barely showers, but I think she's half Scottish. She's an anarchist, and I'm in love with an anarchist, sing a rise above. I'm in love with an anarchist, and I think she's in love with me. Oh, she doesn't much like the government, and she lives in a squat rent free. She's always out protesting something. She doesn't even know what she's against. Frame her copy of Tub Thumpin'. She's an anarchist, and I'm in love. In love with an anarchist, sick and rise above. Oh yeah. She's an anarchist that looks like Courtney Love.
With this band, I mean, assuming people remember the Naked Midgets, they might not, but I mean, for those who do, they have an idea of what that sound was. How does this compare sonically? Like, is this sort of in the same vein, would you say, or have you?
Well, I would say, yeah, the Naked Midgets was more of almost like hardcore punk.
Yeah.
Maybe morphed into more of a pop punk near the end, but it was heavier, it was faster. There's a bit of that here, but it's more on the folk punk end of it. Like a lot of people I know this day, like these days and age, they're into like Days and Days and
right.
Like folk punk, like, you know, trying to think of some names right now.
But is that just sort of necessity state, though? Is that because like you were writing these songs acoustically anyway?
I think it's because at home you could kind of record with anything, an acoustic guitar, a washboard, bongos, know whatever's around. and these folk bands are out there doing it. But then, like, you know, I get together with the guys, and in the end, it kind of ended up heavier than I would have thought. You know, like drums, there's electric guitar on there.
Yeah.
The title track is pretty much like heavy metal with some spoken word stuff. And
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And so it's kind of cool. This also seems like it's coming at a time when Portage, I mean, Portage is always at a punk scene, obviously, as evidenced by bands like Propaganda, by bands, you know, a decade later, like you guys, and we've named a few already here that are currently active. But I mean, it seems like Portage always has a punk scene, but it almost feels like it's kind of stronger now. You have bands like Ticked Off that are doing big things. Like, does this seem like the right time in that community to be getting back into this?
Yeah, I would think so. The young kids are still doing shows and still putting them on. And, you know, there's always seems to be someone. And when someone drops it, somebody else picks it up and takes off. It's always kind of been that way. Lately, there's kind of like an emo, screamo thing going on with the young kids. They're kind of into that. The guy that's mainly in charge of that is from Leaves Like Tiny Flames. His name's
okay.
Hunter.
Okay, I've heard that band. Yeah.
They put out some recordings. That was actually kind of what inspired that. Like, I know that guy well, and inspired me a little bit. Like, he just records a demo, throws it up on YouTube with a drawn cover and stuff. It's like, whoa, it's that easy, eh? Like, it's kind of fun. And that's what they do. So there's that kind of scene going on right now, and it's just something about Portage. Just the type of talent it is just seems to push out the punk rock music and any music for that matter. There's a lot of like fiddlers and country music and whatnot.
I think
Doc Wopper.
Portage almost gets forgotten sometimes because, I mean, even just doing this show, obviously Winnipeg is the priority because there's 7 billion bands from Winnipeg. But even Brandon, I mean, Brandon's got a load of bands. Some of the other towns, mm-hmm. like Morden, I've had a bunch of artists from Morden on here. Portage is like, it's a big place. And last time I was there, I was surprised. It had been a few years. I was surprised at sort of how much it seems like it's grown. And so it's not surprising. I mean, that part was surprising, but it's not surprising there's so many musicians there because, I mean, there is everywhere in Manitoba, but it seems like Portage is kind of continuing to just get bigger and bigger and more stuff happening and more places to be. And it's cool to see.
Definitely. I think Portage has a lot of music, a lot of art, and just, you know, and it's a heavy sports and hockey town too, but it's kind of like the people that get out of the ranks and they get into the music and, you know, the art scene and stuff like that too around here. It's just, this seems to be the way it is. And I can't really put my finger on it, but I'm happy to be a part of it.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's cool too that you've like stuck with Portage, right? I mean, because I think a lot of people who have lived in communities outside of Winnipeg often just come to the city and stay here. And especially a lot of people involved in art stuff too, because I mean, yeah, obviously there's an arts community in Portage and in Brandon and in whoever else, but Winnipeg is so much bigger. And I think a lot of people will migrate here, but you've been like Portage, you know, Portage for life here, which is really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I could see that, like, you get into Winnipeg and you get downtown or into the Exchange or something that seems to be that kind of like inspirational environment and like outlets and venues for it, eh? Which there isn't here, but we could always travel. Like, you know, say I was talking to somebody from Tokyo, Japan, and they asked me what city Chucky and the Cheapskates are from. I'd probably say Winnipeg.
Right, just because they'd recognize the name and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And even at that, you know, they might not recognize that either.
Maybe not. Yeah. Unless they're hockey fans or something. Yeah.
People have had enough. It's time to take it to the street. Let's plan a peaceful protest. Let's fight for corporate greed. We're against the establishment. It's a political philosophy. System is broken. It's time for change. Your face will rearrange.
Of Winnipeg, I mean, you know, as someone, you obviously have a long history with the local music scene here in the city, you know, from being in the Naked Midgets, from going to shows, things like, over the decades. But what was it like, sort of, as a new Portage band coming in to play shows? Just because I know you've done a few recently, and it seems like from videos I've seen and stuff, you got a pretty decent reaction. Like, were there any barriers like to entry to sort of be coming back?
I would say not. Maybe the only barrier would be all the connections aren't there.
Right, they've all moved on or whatever too, retired.
There's still the Grand Greekuses and Steve-O and those guys that you know well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And you probably ran into them recently with Greg getting married there.
Yeah, I was at his bachelor party, Yeah,
me and Spriggs were supposed to go to that, but some adult stuff came up and we couldn't make it. But but the scene there seems to be pretty welcoming and pretty... like helpful and doesn't really seem to matter the genre either, you know, but I guess I'm in the punk scene and that's kind of what's there, you know, all different styles and there's guys my age or older in there now.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And I wouldn't consider myself like totally ingrained and in there like a staple. Like I get a couple shows in a year, but yeah, it seems to be very diverse in age and genre for sure.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things with the punk scene in general, I think. Because, like, I mean, I remember going to shows, and you probably have a similar experience when we were like 15, 16. And you go to punk shows now and you still see people that age. So it's like there's always been that sort of welcoming aspect that I don't necessarily know if it happens in every genre, because some genres are very, very bar heavy as far as venues and things like that. And it's just not possible to get kids out. But yeah, sure. I mean, I've been at punk shows recently in the city and there's been, you know, parents my age bringing their little kids the show and the kids are all decked out in punk shit, and it's really cool. It's very cool to see. Like there's this, for some reason, it's always seemed super welcoming, which I think kind of goes with the whole ethos of what punk is about.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you see that too. Yeah, it's a definitely all age kind of welcoming thing, like going back to Fugazi and everything.
And
the parents kind of like bringing the kids too, and everybody's pretty welcoming. And then there's like the really old guys, and you know, and it's almost when they're there, it's kind of like, oh, awesome. You know, there's a guy from back in the day, he saw Minor Threat.
Yeah.
At the Hungarian club in St. Boniface or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that is cool. It is cool to have those, even though there's very few sort of the further you get into history, but yeah, the links to that background. Because, you know, Winnipeg is such a crazy punk, and the rest of Manitoba too, really, punk history. But so with this band, I mean, what is sort of your goal with it? What are you hoping to achieve with this? And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just for fun. But like you have an actual project now. It's not just you recording demos. You have music that's been recorded that's coming. You have music out there people can hear. You're playing shows. Like, where do you want to go with this?
Well, you know, there was some things that I was never really able to do in the Naked Midgets. Like back then, like obviously the streaming and everything wasn't as... what it is now.
Yeah.
Like I think we had Napster and stuff. We were never on anything like that, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to actually put out an album this day and age, I thought would be kind of cool to see. But still doing it is like stripped down and like on the cheap, like the name says.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, at our own pace. That's kinda, and you know, have a few shows on Saturday night in Winnipeg and just have fun. And that's really all it's for. And the fact that it's gotten some recognition now and whatnot, it's welcomed and we love it, but we're not out to, you know, try to get signed by Epitaph or anything, or we're not planning any like world tour or anything like that. So, but it's just for fun, and it may continue, and it may go into hiatus, you know.
I think to get Sam Epitaph nowadays, you wouldn't even have to be a punk band. You'd be some weird, like,
Sam would probably mumble
rap as. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a rapper. Yeah, some sort of screamo thing.
But, yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I would say Fat, but they're no longer around, I guess.
Right, so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything's crumbling. All of our past is crumbling. But yeah, but you're still doing it, which is really cool to see. And you, yeah. know, you mentioned people like Greg Rikas and Steve-O and people from sort of our era of playing in bands who are still at it. And it's really cool to see that. So I was happy to see that you had this new project coming because, I mean, like, it gives the rest of us hope.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Maybe we can do something useful too.
Yeah, you're never too old, and it's kind of fun. Like, even the demo part of it, I really like just creating the songs, putting it online, and just seeing what people think.
Yeah.
And then listening to it in my car, you know, kind of rocking out with no real expectation or anything. And
yeah.
That's kind of what Chucky and the Cheapskates is about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So is this, I mean, with the Naked Midgets, obviously that band was around for a while. I don't know how many years total. I know we talked about it, I'm sure, last time you were on the show. We had that kind of retrospective thing. You put out 3 records, you know, it played a lot of shows here, Portage, everywhere. But do you, I mean, that band often didn't seem like it was being taken seriously either. And in the best possible way, right? It seemed like you guys were just doing this for fun. So this,
that was kind of the point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, me too, right? With Grandpa's Army and all those bands at the time, most of us were just doing it for fun. So it's cool to hear that this seems like kind of a continuation of that vibe, right? Where you have ideas, you want to put them out there. And now because technology helps, you can just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And back in the day, you really couldn't, you kind of had to know someone that had a 4-track.
Yep.
And, you know, who could get its, like, CDs burnt. And, you know, even going back a few years before that, if a band wanted to do a demo, they had to go to a studio. And then they had to get the CD actually, like, pressed and printed and packaged and buy 5,000 of them.
Yeah,
and now you see them all in thrift shops or holding up crooked tables and stuff.
Well, and I'm out there buying all of them and finding them.
Exactly.
That's where they're in my house, yeah.
As a music collector, you know, I'm sure you're all over that, as many are. And yeah, it's just like, you know, the times have changed as far as that goes. And it definitely makes it easier to break back into it.
Yeah.
I would say, though, if your goal was to, like, really do something meaningful and get out there and get on a label and tour and have that be your career, I couldn't imagine now how hard that would be.
Yeah, it would be very different. I mean, even it was hard back then for a lot of people, too. But this now, because there's... Like, do you have the good thing about everyone and their dog being able to record and release music instantly? But then the negative of that is, like, how do you get heard, right? And I guess you're in places that doesn't matter. You can get heard by the people in your community who you already know or you know, are playing in the other bands you're with. And it seems like it should work out pretty well that way.
Yeah, you just got to have fun and do your best. And whatever happens, happens. And
yeah.
Like I know I watched an interview with the drummer from Weezer. And he just said, like, he couldn't imagine trying to start a band at this day and age to try to go somewhere, you know, it's a different time.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine that either. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. You're racist, you're sexist, from bad fuck Wisconsin. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. Homophobic and fascist, your heads up your ass. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. You're all a bunch of fascist pigs. All the phobic and fascist. Is this band pretty much your project here? I mean, you're writing the songs, you're kind of bringing them to the other guys and they're learning them, or is it a sort of a group dynamic in terms of writing?
I would say that's what's happening, is a little bit of both of what you said. So it starts out like I'm writing everything, but I get together with Daniel and Chris. They're helping me out right now on drums and bass. And I like to let them have an input.
Yeah.
Because like if it's just one guy doing it, it's just going to be the same thing over and over, and it kind of lacks that originality and creativity and growth, where you bring some other influences in there and you know, it totally creates a new song.
Sure.
Because like I'm sure like you or other people have done it too, where you write a song and then a little while later you realize that's a song we've already heard by a band. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to rip that off.
For sure. for sure. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's happened. I think it's happened to everybody who's ever tried to write a song. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So it's just more a creative kind of process, and you know, they're not out there sitting there thinking, okay, what could we do with this song? But in the process of jamming, like, well, yeah, what if we tried this and whatnot? Yeah.
Has your you know, obviously it's been a while since you were last playing in bands. Has your taste in music must have changed at least a little bit, right? But you're still listening to the punk rock stuff and the hardcore, clearly. But has that affected the songwriting? I mean, just the passage of time and hearing new things and maybe...
I would say the passage of time, like, you might be familiar with this, like, all that Epiphat, you know, kind of punk rock, skate punk, as much as we all love it, it's the same thing over and over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of got to branch out into some other genres, and like, you like the reggae and whatnot. And I went through a phase probably for 10 years where I was listening to a lot of country, like,
yeah,
just kind of, you know. And then even that, it all gets repetitive with the trucks and the drinking and the girls and everything. That's like,
yeah,
the Luke Bryan and all that. It's like, it's all the same. So I think kind of genre hopping helps out, and that would maybe explain a difference in sound.
Okay.
To where I'm at now, you know, like, whereas back then, you know, I was a massive AC/DC fan as a kid, but once I got into punk, it was punk or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, anything else was not welcome, so you end up writing a lot of the same punk songs that have already been written, you know.
Well, I guess part of it is that there's a low barrier to entry to play punk rock, right? I mean, you'd learn three chords, you start a band the next day. And I think that's been one of the things for, you know, I'm definitely putting myself up there as someone who's terrible at playing music. I've been in a lot of bands, but I'm not good at my instruments, right? But punk rock is an avenue you can take if you're not good at instruments, because you can learn a handful of chords and there you go, you got an album already, you know, within 10 minutes.
For sure. And it's not like people are trying to play poorly to be punk rock.
No.
It's just the opportunity was there for you. You'd like that fast, aggressive,
exactly,
you know, kind of raw music, and that's what it becomes. You still try your best and try to make it sound good,
yeah,
for the most part, and it is what it is, and it's welcome, even if it doesn't sound that good.
For sure, yeah, it's like one of the few genres where sounding bad, not on purpose, but if you just suck at your instruments, it's okay. People are happy to hear it. It's the whole three chords and the truth thing, right? Which I love, is my favorite thing I've ever heard anyone say about punk rock, because that's what it is. You're expressing something, and there's sort of a basic backing to it, but it, the energy's there, and the emotion's there, and the feeling's there, and that's really all you need. I mean, I'd rather listen to a terrible punk band who can barely play their instruments than someone who's a virtuoso, but the music has no soul, right?
Exactly, yeah. At that point, is it like a robot then, you know, just playing this music, or like... In country, like in Nashville, a bunch of guys in suits up in high-rise, like, office building.
Yeah.
You know, eating what's going to, like, get into the algorithms and stuff. So,
well, this, yeah, this just reminded me of the robot thing. I love talking shit about this guy, so I wanted to do it. It gave me an opportunity. But Eric Clapton, right? I mean, he's technically a very, very good guitar player. But he's the most boring person to listen to ever, because he's like a guitar robot. He plays everything exactly how it should be. It's like, wow, that's impressive. But you're not, to me anyway, as a listener, there's no feeling behind it. And my favorite video moment ever seeing Eric Clapton on video is during the movie The Last Waltz, about the band's last show. And they have guests on every song. And then Clapton's up there with the band playing whatever song it was. And he's doing his little solo, not moving, completely stock still like a robot, playing all the notes perfectly. And then the guitar strap falls off in the middle of the thing. And it's like, he is not prepared for that to happen, because it doesn't fit in with the robotic, his whole vibe. And then Robbie Robertson comes over and takes over the guitar solo, and he's fucking up. He's playing weird notes. He's dancing around, but he has a huge smile on his face and he's really into it. And it's so much better. Like that 15 seconds of Robertson playing the solo blows Clapton stuff away, because even though he's screwing it up, you can tell he's into it. And then the robots, like, you can play, I don't want to hear someone who could play amazingly if there's nothing behind it, you know?
Like, mechanically, Clapton,
yeah,
can do it all, and he's going to be up there, but you can watch that on YouTube if you wanted.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Like, who's going to pay money to see someone just sitting up there playing everything exactly how it sounds on the record, right?
Exactly, but it, as happens in our shows back in the day, and still, like, you see somebody's strap come off, and they're still trying to play their, yep, guitar, and the song doesn't stop, you know, there's... People barely notice, you know, it's just part of the game.
It doesn't matter. It's part of the, yeah, exactly. I remember my guitar neck getting caught in a trombone slide once at a ska show, and it didn't even matter. Like, who cares, right? It's, yeah, yeah.
Just keep going.
Just,
yeah,
keep going.
Really bad. Maybe laugh a little. Hey, look, yeah, at the guitar. And
yeah. So,
but yeah, and I think that's part of punk.
I think, know, so too. Like, yeah. It's one of the best parts.
It has that emotion to it. Yeah.
For sure. So, how do people hear Chuckie and the Cheapskates? Because this is, I almost fell off my chair as I was speaking.
Yeah.
if this is the first time, yeah, I'm so excited about your new band. Yeah. If this is the first time someone's hearing about your band, where would you send them? I mean, it's a podcast. Someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it 10 years from now. Cause apparently I never stopped doing the show. So,
and I gotta say 1000 episodes now.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's insane. Over what? Probably 10 years.
I started in late 2012. Yeah. So it's 13 years now. Yeah. But,
congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
But finding the album, it's going to be, I say you're going to, because the date we are right now, it's going to be coming out Friday, September 5th at midnight.
Okay.
So it's going to be on all the streaming platforms and everything.
So the good news, by the time this comes out, it'll already be available. So once you're done listening to this podcast, go right onto Bandcamp or whatever and find it and download
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You can get it right then and there and discover my whole catalog, which is 5 songs.
Four of them will be on this episode too.
Exactly. And I recently discovered the band Ween. I don't know if you're familiar.
Great band, yeah.
You can listen to their like full catalog. Like, I like discovering a band late. Some people are like, oh man, like I'm late to the party. That's awesome. They have so much back catalog, you know.
Yeah, very cool.
So yeah, you get there. I will have physical copies of the CD. They won't be in stores or anything, but if you're at a show or if you know guys in the band personally, you could get those too.
Well, I'll bug you for I'll need to bug you for one myself, but yes. Yeah.
You know, for sure. I'll send you one or give you one at a show. But with punk, I'm noticing too, a lot of people still sell CDs on their merch table.
Awesome. Yeah.
Popular sale item, you know, like and I think it's more just to get it, to have the CD of Broken Idols or whatever band you're there to see that night, you know.
For sure. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. So and then on social media, where can people follow you?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram mainly. I got to set up a Facebook just so that I don't have to bombard friends and family that aren't really into the band. You know, they could follow it if they want. But yeah, right now on Instagram, it's just Chucky and the Cheapskates.
Awesome. And then, you know, again, this is someone could hear this a year after it's out. But if someone's listening right now and it's a current episode, do you have anything coming up in the next few months as far as shows?
Yeah, I got a show. Well, yeah, it's probably going to be done by now, playing the Back Alley Beers Festival.
Yeah, that'll be over. Yeah.
I'm familiar with. It'll be over, but that's kind of probably the end of summer thing, unless something comes up. And then it's pretty busy fall and winter, so probably I would look to next spring and summer. You know, give people time to listen to the album and get into it. And, you know, like the old band DVS, when they toured, they would... Back in the day, the only option was to bring their album out on tour. So nobody knew the new album.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still have those CDs.
Exactly. They'd play everything off the new album and nobody really was into it because they had never heard those songs. But by the time they came back next summer, everybody was pumped up.
You know? For sure. Yeah. We were probably at some of the same shows seeing DBS, I'm sure, back in the
day. Exactly. Yeah. Guaranteed. In West End Cultural Center kind of shows.
Definitely. Yeah. Right on, man. But yeah.
Probably a light winter, but I'll be writing and whatnot as always. And you never know what's going to come out next summer. I think it'd be cool to do kind of a 5-song EP every summer.
Right on. Cool.
I'll protest pollution. I'll even bring a sign. I'll be on the street with my guitar to protest your pipeline. I'll protest the hero. I'll protest the war. I'll protest your protest, cause I like my protest more. I'm protesting everything. I'll protest big business. I'll protest the state. I'll protest my haircut from 1988. I'll protest the punks. And I'll protest the skins. I'll protest your victory, cause when you lose, we win. Protesting everything. Whoa. I'm protesting research. Have you picked a worthy flight? And don't forget to post that shit so you can get a like. So pick up that picket sign for the murder with the cop. We stick to this awareness. Is it just a trendy car?
A protest. protesting every lane. Whoa, a protest.